This wonderful atmosphere of reverence and Holy Ghost power, would you please welcome to the platform, Brother Kenneth Copeland. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lynn. Hallelujah. Woo! Shout amen! Hallelujah! Glory! Glory, 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 hallelujah! Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. Well, Kelly and Steve said this morning how they love the Great Lakes crowd. Praise the Lord, yeah. I'll tell you what, I've found this to be true everywhere we go. It's that first Monday morning group. How many of you this morning are from at least 50 miles away from Milwaukee, guys? Anybody here from Milwaukee? Oh, yeah! Amen! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Before you're seated now, here's something that the Lord just... The Word of the Lord came to me as I was standing back stage there, and I heard this. And for me to share it with you, and then we'll feed it into our spirits. Well, you know your spirit needs nutrition? The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, faith words nourish. The Word of God will nourish your faith. You can nourish one another by talking faith to one another. Don't talk high gas price. Talk faith to one another. Praise the Lord. You know, amen. Now then, say this. The blessing of Abraham is mine.
The blessing of Abraham is mine.
The blessing is working.
It's working in me.
It's working through me.
It's working for me.
To bring the life of Jesus.
Not just to me.
But to fill up my environment. To bring His blessing. Upon all that I come in contact. To bless. To bless,
to bless,
to bless,
to bless,
and the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich.
The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich.
And He adds no sorrow with it.
No sorrow.
Now shake hands with three people and say, you're blessed. Amen. Woo, glory. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Amen. You remember the 103rd Psalm when David said, bless the Lord, O my soul. You need to bless all the time. Practice it all the time. I can say this to you, and this fits right in with what the Lord has instructed me to talk to you about this morning and most of this week. Don't practice anger. Don't practice anger on your washing machine or on your car or on your tools or at work or on your computer. Watch other people. Just keep your mouth shut and just watch what goes on. Just see how the general population thinks, and that's what you don't want to do. Now, watch them talk to their machines. Well, I don't know what's the matter with you, you sorry thing. You were working last night when I left here. Somebody been fooling with this piece of junk here? Get out of here. Don't practice it. You practice anger, it'll stay at the ready all the time. And then the words will come out in anger, and you didn't even mean them to, and now you've got to repent. But the main thing is, the Bible says, words are arrows. Well, when that was written, the word arrow was the only translation that they had, but the word is missile or bullet. Projectile. Words pierce. Words fly. Words carry. Now, you know, what if you walked in here and all you just swinging your pistol around and all of a sudden the thing went off and you shot three people before you get the thing back in your pocket? I didn't mean to do that. Yeah, but they're already shot. You could repent, but they're bleeding. What does this constitute? Changing the way you think. And that's what we're going to be talking about. Changing your way of thinking. You can change a thought anytime you want to. You just take authority over the thing. In order to do it, you have to say something because your thoughts are subject to your spoken words. That's the way God created you. Now, you cast down imaginations, Scripture says, and every high thing that exalts itself against, the King James says, the knowledge of God, or every thought that exalts itself against what you know the Bible says. So the Bible's saying one thing, you thinking another. That's your way of thinking. So you have to change your way of thinking. Now, you can take a thought and say it. But that didn't change your way of thinking. You just shifted gears in the middle of a sentence or something, but your whole process, I like to call it the whole body of thought in which your mind functions. Everything your brain has ever recorded, amen, is in there from the cradle on. And it develops a body of thought. You understand what we're saying here? And this will come even more clear as we go. So one of the things to be very, very careful about is don't practice anger. What do? You practice love. Well, I'm Brother Copeland, what difference does it make? I was only talking to a screwdriver. Where'd you get that screwdriver? Well, I bought it. Where'd you get the money? I made it. Well, now see, your whole way of thinking is off. Huh? You're thinking like the world. That Babylonian system thinks they make money, they make deals, they make their way in the world, they are self-made people. Isn't that right? Some of you sitting there thinking, well, yeah, I mean, what's wrong with that? Everything. You Babylonian thing, you. Now, that Babylonian system is man meeting his own needs without God. Now, the 73rd Psalm, you might make a note of that. We won't turn there this morning. It says, behold, or look at those that prosper in the world. It says, look at the ungodly, people that prosper without God, the ungodly, they gather unto themselves riches. So they think they are blessed when they're rich. But now Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord, it does what? It does what? It maketh. No, you didn't get it. It maketh. No, you said you make it. You said you make a living. You said you make deals. You said you make money. You said you make your way in the world. But the blessing, it maketh. So it's not dependent on where you're employed. It's not dependent on what you earn. See, your whole body of thinking has to be changed. Are you with me? Would you like to get more into this? Oh, you'd be glad you did. I can tell you that. Amen. Because it takes all the shackles off of you. Spirit, soul, body, finance, socially, everything. When you walk in the blessing instead of the curse. When you walk in more than enough, instead of being bound down all the time. Because that Babylonian system, the reason the Lord put that in my mouth is this. God blessed Adam. Adam goofed it off. Then God blessed Noah and his sons. Ham, Japheth, those two Did the same thing Adam did. Ah, but Shem, he stayed with it. See, he stayed with the blessing. So the two systems then were working. Amen. Out of Ham and Japheth, that out of that two came the Babel incident, the Tower at Babel, the whole Babylonian system to meet needs without God. So that system has its own spiritual system, which is religion. It has its own educational system, which is information without God as its source. It has its own financial system, which the whole world functions in today. And out of that system is born slavery. Out of that system is born racism. Out of that system is born all of those things that and promotes the curse. But Jesus was made a curse for us, that we are redeemed from the curse so that the blessing of Abraham, which is a descendant of Shem, might come on the Gentile. Well, the Gentile was a translation of the word nations. Now, God didn't see the three people, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, you've got to be kin to one of them. Now, you might be like me and Jesse. We kin to all three. Yeah, man. Oh, yes. Just about everybody in the United States is kin to all three of them, man. I mean, so forget all that mess. He went to the cross so the blessing of Abraham could come on all the rest of us. Amen. So we can walk us. Because he wasn't looking at the three people. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. He preached the gospel to Abraham, saying, in Galatians 3:8, so this is the gospel, all nations of the earth shall be blessed in you. Praise God. That's where you're supposed to say, amen, Brother Copeland. Am I going to have to train you for this week? Now, you black folks know how to praise God. Now, don't just leave me standing up here. White folks have to have help. Amen. And Indian folks are worse than either one of them. They just stand there and go, mm. So that's my background. I had to overcome. I actually saw the joy of the Lord hit the Navajo Nation a couple of years ago. And you ought to see that bunch of Indians when the power of God, they jump about that high and shout so loud you can hear them plumb across the desert, man. Praise God. Amen. Now then, that's where we're going this week. Hallelujah. So, let's open our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 55. We'll look at several scriptures this morning. Isaiah chapter 55. And let's read starting with verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked... Now, the word wicked means twist. We get our word wicker, like wicker furniture means that it's twisted together when it's made. A wick in a candle wick, that's a twisted cord. So that word means to twist. It also indicates just the opposite of. So, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Or the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord. Well, that's the New Testament definition of repentance. The Old Testament definition of repentance was to be sorry for. But that's all you could do is be sorry for your sins. in the New Testament with the blood of Jesus available and the name of Jesus available, the word repent does not mean to be sorry for. Much to the, in some cases, to the chagrin of religious-minded people that love to bawl and squall in church. But crying over your sin won't do nothing about it. In fact, feeling guilty for your sin is really dangerous. What? Well, now see, I'm already digging into your old way of thinking. No, the scripture says, in 1 John, right there, just as plain, says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
After you felt guilty about it and cried over for 3 months. No, no. When you confess it in faith. Now, of course, sin hurts. It'll hurt you. And it causes you, your conscience cuts at you to get that stuff out of you. Because when there's sin involved, your spirit's not working right. Your faith isn't working right, the love of God not working right, and the blessing is cut completely off by sin. Blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven and cleansed, the Word says. So the blessing begins to work when that cleansing takes place. Now, those guilty feelings and really a bothered conscience that brought you to repentance. Actually, the Word should bring you to repentance. You ought not have to go through all those feelings to lead you to God. If you got something wrong in your life, for goodness sakes, confess it, get it out of there, and get on with business. But after you have confessed it before Jesus, He's faithful and He's just. Yeah, but I'm so unworthy. Shut up. Hush your Babylonian mouth.
Hey.
You're trying to do it yourself.
Hey, come on.
Are you listening here? Yeah. Now listen to me. Those are symptoms. The sin is gone. Why? The Word says Jesus is faithful. He's just. Now you deal with the feelings. You deal with them. Said, no, I ain't feeling that guilt. You get out of my life. Jesus has cleansed me from all unrighteousness, and I can prove it from the 43rd chapter of the book of Isaiah that God has cleansed His mind of all of my transgressions.
Yes.
He doesn't remember them. He doesn't remember them. I'm not going to remember them. Get it out of there. Condemnation doesn't work. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh or after those feelings, but after the Spirit. Now walk in the Spirit. If you don't, then you don't have anything to get rid of all of that carnal driving and guilt and all of that stuff. And so you just continue to condemn yourself, and God's not condemning you at all. Jesus is faithful and He's just. Isn't He faithful to God?
Amen.
To be faithful to God, He has to be faithful to you. Because God sent Him to be faithful to you. Amen, Brother Copeland.
Amen, Brother Copeland.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Let the wicked forsake his thoughts and the unrighteous man way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, let him return. Let him turn around and go the other way. Now he's not twisted anymore. He's going in the right direction. He's untwisted himself and he's going towards God instead of away from Him. I had the Lord say this to me years and years and years ago because I was raised in a repenting church. They ain't saying nothing about getting saved. You just come get rededicated all the time. I got rededicated every other Sunday. Every time they brought up something, I was guilty. The problem of it was, I never got born again. I just repented and cried till I felt good and then go on out and then bust some other guy in the head and had to come back
you know, and do it all over again. Amen. Oh, what a miserable way to live. But I wasn't repenting. I was feeling sorry for my sin. See, sin carries sorrow. But I was taught to feel sorry for my sin. So when I got over here in the Word of Faith, I would go ahead and feel sorry over it and get bound down about it until I couldn't stand it anymore, and I'd cry out to God to help me. And I heard this one day, Kenneth, don't run from me when you sin, run to me. Right. He said, when you confessed that sin, wasn't when I found out about it, son. Uh-huh. He said, that's when you got rid of it.
All right.
He knew it all the time. And you can't embarrass him. He's been through the worst of it. Amen. Jesus has already borne every sin you can imagine and all of them that you can't. So he has been there. Amen. That's one thing got him in trouble with the religious people because he preached in the joints. Yeah. With the wine bibbers. He was down there preaching the word of God with a smile on his face and they loved him. Absolutely loved it. You know, I have found it in a lot of cases easier to preach in a honky-tonk than it is in some churches. Oh, not just some churches. Amen. When the first time we went to Eastern Europe, we were in the Ukraine, and we had checked into the hotel, and there was a little small hotel. It was small enough that we rented the whole thing for our team. And there were some Americans there that, I think one of them owned that hotel. But anyway, they had been there for years and years. And at least we could talk to them, you know. And we're standing, Gloria and I are just standing at about a very small little lobby. And we're just standing there while the guys are, you know, doing all the checking in and all that stuff. We just stand there waiting on everything. I look through the front window there of the lobby, and across the street was a bar, and they had a glass window front, and I could see through that. They had one big television in there right up over the bar, and I was on it preaching. I said, Glory, look. There I was, just a preaching. Here's a guy nursing a drink, smoking a cigarette, and he's just sitting there drinking and smoking and listening. Everything. Amen. I've seen it. I've done it. I've preached in bars and every other kind of thing right. You can think of. Praise the Lord. Now, forsake it. He'll have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways or your way of thinking, your way of doing things, are not mine, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Well, now, you see, that was Isaiah. That was the Holy Ghost through the prophet Isaiah speaking to the church. You have to understand this, and we'll get into this momentarily. This begins, actually, with the 52nd chapter of Isaiah. Then the 53rd is Jesus on the cross. And from the 10th, 11th, 12th verses, that's Jesus being resurrected. And then it says, he sees his seed and prolongs his days. That's you and me. We're his seed. And then you come down. You didn't know that?
Oh, yeah.
And if you in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise? What? The blessing. Amen. And then the 54th chapter is the wake-up call to the body of Christ. Then you come into the 55th chapter, and he is saying, now, Jesus has been to the cross. Jesus has been resurrected. He is sitting at the right hand of the Father. You have been raised up to sit with him in heavenly places. So how can two walk together unless they be agreed?
Amen.
Or unless they think in the same way. You can't walk with God. He thinking one way, you thinking another.
You can even say the same words and you're thinking one thing and he's thinking another. Sunday school teacher said one morning to a group of little people, she said, Lot's wife looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. And this little boy said, that ain't nothing. My mama looked back and turned into a telephone pole. Now, see, they ain't on the same page now, your brother. She said one thing, he heard another. That happens all the time in meetings like these. Amen? So, what God is saying, you get on the same page with me. How can I walk together with you when you don't think, when we're not thinking the same? So, are you ready? Here we go. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now then, let's turn over. Hold your place in Isaiah because we're going to come back there. Spend a lot of time in that area. But look right now in the New Testament to the book of Philippians, please. I remember the day I found this. I tell you, I shouted and jumped, shook all over. I didn't know what to do with it. I thought, dear God, if I ever mention that out in public, they'll tar and feather me. Kind of churches that I was used to. When I first got into this ministry, I was still a student at Oral Roberts University. And I was standing there praying one morning, and I was so thrilled. Oh, just to be called of God.
Amen.
And here I am, so thrilled. And the Lord said, Kenneth, boy, I heard the word of the Lord. I said, yes, sir. I'm not talking about audibly. I'm talking about down in here. You can hear the same thing, praise God. I said, yes, sir. He said, in the land. Now, he wasn't talking about just the United States. He's talking about his territory, his land. In the kingdom of God. There is a sleeping giant. And I knew when he said it, I knew he was talking about the full gospel, spirit-filled Pentecostal church. And I said, yes, sir. He said, I'm going to wake them up.
All right.
I said, glory to God. Woo! And he said, you're the needle. I said, oh, Lord. Come on, man. And I tell you, I would say things back then, and then people get so mad at me. I released a song one time about I'm the righteousness of God.
Yes.
The Christian disc jockeys wouldn't play it. I had a meeting in Las Vegas, Nevada, in a casino. The casino owner had gotten born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. Wayne Cochran. To those of you that are my age thereabout, remember C.C. Ryder. Oh, yeah, old C.C. Ryder. Well, he got born again on one of our tapes. And so he and I teamed up real early. And he called me. He said, Brother Kenneth, he said, that man that owns this casino in Las Vegas, at the time it was the biggest casino there. He said, I've known him for years. He said, I played his casino, and he said, once or twice, he said, Monica and I were there for 3 months without ever going outside that casino. He said, we just were all night and day there. He said, I led him to the Lord, got him baptized in the Holy Ghost. He's wanting to do something for God so bad, he don't know what to do. And he wondered if you and I would come and have a meeting here. I said, when?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I got so excited. Lord, I got so excited. I was so thrilled. Well, we had our meeting there. One night, I was standing behind the curtains there just waiting for 7:30 to come. Dear Lord, hurry up. Well, let's get on with it. And the curtains popped open on the backside there, and there was a dealer stuck his head in there. And he's got his little black tie on, and his little black vest and his white shirt. And he said, Brother Copeland, he said, I just wanted you to know, man, he said, I'm on the floor tonight. I'd love to be in that meeting in there. But he said, all us born again blackjack dealers are praying for you, brother. Whoa! And he said, we got some Pharaoh dealers that are born again. And he said, man, he said, we're believing God with you, brother.
Now, a few weeks later, Ma, we had a meeting, dear Lord of mercy. Days of meeting. One of the local churches sued me for having a meeting there without asking them.
Oh, my. Please.
They sued me because in the offerings I was bound to be getting some of their money. Now, it's the same church that wouldn't let them dealers come to church unless they quit their job.
Uh-huh.
And it was those dealers that prayed that guy into the Holy Ghost.
Hey.
Somebody got to change their way of thinking around him.
Oh, come on.
Are you listening to me? Yeah. And that's the problem. Religion thinks the Babylonian way, and God thinks another way.
Hey.
Amen. All right. Now, I read this. I got so excited, and I thought, do I dare mention this? Oh, yeah. I got to where I was looking for stuff just to shake them up and make them so mad they couldn't breathe, you know. Maybe they'd stay up all night to prove me wrong.
Could do it.
And some of them tried. And I said, you call me now when you find it. That's been 40 years and I ain't heard from none of them yet. Now, some of them did call and say, my God, Copeland, I was so mad at you. I stayed up for 3 nights trying to prove you wrong. He said, I finally had to conclude, my Lord is in there all the time, and I missed it. Now, in the book of Philippians, now notice this. In the second chapter, are you there? Verse 5. Let this mind. Now, you know, it says you have to let it. It's not going to just come, just float through there. If you just relax, your mind will be floating full of Babylonian ideas. But let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He didn't think it was taking away from God's purity. He didn't think it was taking away from God's authority. Listen to me. Are you listening? Because if you're not, I am fixing to really make you mad right now. He didn't think it or call it taking away from God's worthiness. Yeah, but Brother Copeland, Jesus was worthy. Yeah, but Sister Religious, so are you. No, Brother Copeland, I'm so unworthy. Now, you know where that came from? That didn't come from the Bible. That came from Eastern religions. You'll hear Chinese religion say that. Some of them say it as a common form of vocabulary. They constantly call themselves your unworthy servant. I am your humble, unworthy servant. Well, no, Jesus didn't save you because you was worthy. He died for the ungodly, but he didn't leave you unworthy.
Amen.
Get over that.
Amen.
Shut that thing. Peel that thing off. Well, Brother Copeland, I just think I'm just not worthy to be blessed. Oh, shut up.
Amen.
I'm telling you. That is spiritually deadly. Causes doubt, unbelief. It'll cause you to back off from what already belongs to you. Amen. When I was in high school, my dad worked extra time and bought me a new motorcycle. I didn't know they made new ones. You know, the one I had, I sold it for $5 and a fan belt. So you can tell the fan belt, I think, was probably overpriced. But my dad worked extra. I mean, and my dad traveled all the time. And man, he disliked being away from home as bad as I do, and both of us the same way. Man, we love home, man. We love to be with our family. We love home. But my dad knew what he was called to do, and he was out there doing it. And he stayed out an extra day a week for a long time to buy that motorcycle. I didn't know it was coming. I got the thing on Christmas, and I'll tell you what, when I saw that motorcycle, I like passed out. It was so cold that night. Man, it was one of those few times in Fort Worth when it just really does get cold. And it was Christmas Eve night, and he and Mother gave me that motorcycle. I rode that bike that night over 100 miles. It was so cold when I got home, I couldn't hardly walk in the house. I was nearly frozen. But now when I rode that bike to school and people come running up there and say, whoa, man, new? I said, yeah, man. What do you think? Oh, yeah, I knew. Oh, yes, but now listen, this is not really mine. This belongs to my dad. You've got to be kidding. That would have been an insult to my dad.
Come on.
Huh? Listen, he didn't do all that so he could loan me his motorcycle. He gave it. The first little airplane that we had in the first twin-engine airplane we had in this ministry. I mean, I polished it until wiped the paint off of it, you know. And I'm out there polishing, man. I'd go out in the hangar and sit in that thing and do my studying. The little old house we lived in was small and kids running around and having a good time. So I'd go out there at the hangar and just sit there in that airplane. It's quiet, you know. I could study. And then we'd get through studying, polish a little while. And just praising God. Look at this, Lord. Look at this. That don't impress him much. I mean, his chariot is fast as a lightning from the east to the west. But it looked good to me. And to him, it looked good because it looked good to me.
Right, right.
See, he thinks blessing. He don't think curse.
Amen.
Religion thinks curse. He don't think that way. That's not his way. His way is to bless.
Amen.
His way is to give. So, a couple of preacher boys came out there to see it. This airplane God gave you? I said, yeah, it is. Oh, man. Paid for? I said, yeah, paid for. Ain't no note against it. Oh, just think. And they're rubbing around, don't you know? This is a large airplane. I said, no, it ain't. Huh? No. It's mine. Their jaw fell slack. Kind of lost a little color in the face, you know. Like I had cussed. To them, I had. What I said was blasphemous to their ears. How can you dedicate or give something to somebody you don't have? Huh? You tell me how you do that. The Bible says God gave the earth and the fullness thereof to men.
Right.
If you don't take ownership, I know a thief that will. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be called equal with God. Well, you shouldn't think it'd be taken away from God either after you've been born again. Because old things have passed away. All things have become new. And all things are of God. Now, I'll tell you, as long as you stay religious and you don't mention anything about anything like that, there ain't nobody going to pay no attention to you. You can just coast along and, you know, you can raise a little money, sell a few chickens. There ain't enough chickens alive to do what God's called you to do. Poor chickens having to sacrifice themselves when if you just come up with a little faith. I tell you what, it make all the difference in the world. Rummage sales. I've been to the last rummage sale I'm going to, you understand? Particularly if it has anything to do with raising money to buy a church. There's not enough rummage to build nice enough church.
Come on.
For God and His Son Jesus and His Son you. He needs you rich. He needs you rich. Now, I said that to them. I said, no, the Lord gave that to me. I said, yeah. But I said, when He did, I turned right around and dedicated it totally and completely to Him. He calls all the shots. I go where He says go. I do what He says do. And I only say those things that I hear Him say. Where have you heard that before? Isn't that what Jesus said? Yet He thought it not robbery to be called equal with God. But everything He did,
He turned it back to God. Now, how can you dedicate something or give to somebody something you have never taken possession of? See, that changed your way of thinking. Amen. So, I said, now, I laid hands on this thing and received it. It is mine. And I am responsible for it. I tried that old thing one time. I said, Lord, now that's your airplane and you need to raise and get the money to me. I think I did say the word raise. I've never said it since. Overhaul this propeller, and the word of the Lord snapped right back at me. He said, don't try to put that piece of junk off on me. He said, I told you not to get into that thing when you prayed about it the first time, and you did it anyway. I said, uh-oh. That old religion, this is your airplane. Boy, that didn't hunt in that pasture. I'm mean. I said, oh, you're right. Forgive me, I repent of it. In Jesus' name, I was wrong. I judge myself of it, not condemn myself. I judge myself of it, and I'll not be judged with the world. Forgive me, sir, I repent of it. He said, all right, now I'll get you the money to fix it, but you get that thing back over there where you got it, and you get out of it as fast as you can. I said, yes, sir. Amen. See, all the time, I was having to change my way of thinking. So that you think that way all the time, not just in a pinch. That's the difference. Now then, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation. He didn't use that to make himself look good to people. And neither should you.
Okay.
Amen. Now, that is not to say that you are not to be exalted. Because in 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, the word says, cast all of your care over on him, for he cares for you, that he may exalt you in due season or in due time. It isn't that he doesn't want you exalted. He doesn't want you exalting yourself. He'll bring you up above it. He'll set you on high above all nations or above all the Babylonians. Yeah, that's where he wants you to be. But he doesn't want you trying to get there yourself. Now, they think they're blessed only after they get rich. You are rich because you're blessed. Now, some of you think, well, I'm not rich. Yeah, you are, and that's the reason you're not getting to spend any of it. Because you don't think you are. You're going to have to change your way of thinking. I found out when I was poor, I couldn't get out of sight. My first day in this ministry, I couldn't get any further than the front door. And no gas in the car, none in the pocket. So I got dressed, got all my stuff, and went to the living room. Studied all day long, dressed and ready to go. Within a few days, I had money enough for half a tank of gas. And that was enough to get us where we were called to be. Didn't have any money to eat. But what difference does that make? I'm not making my way. I don't preach for a living. I'm not a professional preacher. I'm not a professional pilot. I'm qualified professionally. That's what I did for a living when I got saved. It's what I was doing when Gloria and I met. Gloria said we weren't getting a living, but that's what I was doing for one. And she was right. Now, what do I do as a profession? What is my profession? Can you tell me? It ain't a trick question. It's an open book test. All right. Huh? I'm hearing about a dozen that the just shall live by faith. That's our living. I do faith for a living. What do I do in faith for a living? I stand on the word and I give. I sow seeds.
Amen.
Actually, I'm a spiritual farmer. Now, they used to ask my grandfather. My grandfather, Cherokee Indian man, and he was an outstanding farmer and rancher. I mean, he one year... out in West Texas,
The only reason they opened the cotton gin in that county was to gin his cotton, because he was the only farmer in that county that had a crop. So he was good at what he did. And when you ask him, "Mr. Owens, what do? He would say, "I grow cotton." Now, he grew other things, but he loved cotton. Man, he loved farm cotton. That's what he loved to do. And he'd say, "I grow cotton." He didn't say, "I plant it or sell it." "I grow it. I'm a cotton farmer." Amen. That's what he did. Well, that was his thinking. Now, what do you do? "I'm a sower of seed. I live by faith. I'm a distributor of the blessing of Abraham."
Yes.
That's what we do. Now, let me give you another example here of thinking like God instead of thinking like Babylon. Everybody should save. Everybody. You should tithe first. And then you should save. Actually, you're paying everybody but yourself. If any left over, you try to pay yourself. No, not pay yourself first. "Yeah, but I owe. Well, that's your fault, sweetheart. Now, if you get in the Word of God, God will get you out of debt. That ought to be priority one. Quit paying everybody else. Amen. And paying for what you buy 3 or 4 or 5 times. We'll see it right here in the book of Isaiah in just a moment. In fact, open your Bible back up there and we'll go there right now. But why should I save? Well, you need to put a little something back for a rainy day. You're expecting rain, huh? You're expecting the curse. You're expecting bad times. You're expecting to have money to buy gas. You're on and on. Your way of thinking is all twisted. Because you're not dependent on that system out there. No, you save for opportunities.
Amen.
There'll be opportunities. There'll be opportunities to give. There'll be opportunities to sow. You want me to tell you why Gloria and I live in such a fine house? Amen. And I know the news media don't like it. They ain't going to like it when you get one either. It's all right if you get it peddling, alcohol or something. And here's the Babylonian way of thinking. I heard a man say this. I heard a man say this on television. After all, the only reason to form any corporation is to make money. That is so far out of line. That is so far twisted. But that's the way the world thinks. Well, yeah, Brother Coleman, but if I don't make money, I can't do anything for anybody. Well, now, which is it? You formed the corporation to do something for people, or did you form it to get money? Now, he said he formed the only reason for any corporation is to make money. No, it's the blessing of the Lord it maketh rich. That's the difference between them and you. Preachers, you ain't preaching for a living. If you are, you better change it. Well, I got to have at least 5 meetings a month, Brother Copeland. I don't care what your excuses are. You can statter and stumble around. I've already heard them all. I've already thought them all. How could you ever go minister to one person? How could you ever go take a meeting in a place got 2 people in it? Well, after all, your budget is just so terribly high. You couldn't do that. How did the Lord call me to go to Israel for one woman? To minister to one woman. I said, "Lord, this was back before we had an airplane that had range enough to get over there and had to go through all that mess. I said, "Lord, that's pretty expensive to go." And I knew I was wrong when I said it. But he'd got out in the air. That's when I heard it. He heard it when I thought it. He said, "If Kelly or Terry was in trouble and there was only one person in that mess that they would listen to, would you think twice before you sent that person over there to see to them?" I said, "Well, no." He said, "Why?" I said, "Because those are my daughters." He said, "Well, that one over there is my daughter." I'm gone. I'm on my way. Oh yeah, that's what I was thinking all the time, Lord. Yeah, I'll go. Amen. See, if you're preaching for a living, you can't do that. But if you're preaching for a giving, if you have to meet the needs of the people, if you have members in your church to meet their needs, if you have partners to meet their needs, to give them good ground and meet their needs, it's going to take a while to change your way of thinking where you think that way all the time and you don't catch yourself thinking the old way because the roots of it are still in there. You dig them out and root them out where you don't think that way anymore. Well, how are we supposed to think? And how do we change it? All right, I'll give you these certain steps, and then we will be headed in that direction as we go. If you're taking notes, write these down. Don't talk lack or recession ever. I don't care what. Let me put it this way. Don't talk good times and bad times. Don't talk that at all. That's that other system. You don't live by that. And don't get in conversations about it. And if it's a place where it's just not proper for you to say anything else, you say,
All right.
And when you say, everybody thinks how wise you are. It's when you open your mouth, they know better. You know, But in the middle of bad times is when you do business. You ought to be where God tells you to be. You ought to be saying what He tells you to say and doing what He tells you to do. This is not a time to talk about how bad times are. This is a time to talk about the blessing. Amen. God, what do you want me to do? Is there somebody that I need to buy a tank of gas for today? You know, I started to tell you a while ago, you know why Gloria and I live in such a nice home? Because we went to a discount store one day, and we the Lord reminded Gloria and I both this again last week, and we were just walking in the front of that store. We'd never been in this store before. I've been in it one time since. She's never been back in it again, and this was years ago. But that day we went to that store, and I was walking in there, and I'm still about 10 steps maybe from the door. I'm still out in the edge of the parking lot. And I heard somebody's tire. Brother, go blood, brother, go blood, brother, go blood. God told me you'd go be here. God told me you'd go be here. I said, what? She slid that thing up right behind Gloria and me. Back seat full of little kids. I said, what is it? She said, oh, Brother Copeland, I got a situation. I don't know what to do. And I was praying, and the Lord said, you'd know what to do. And I said, well, I can't get a hold of him. He says, you go to the Target store. That's where he's going to be. And there I was. She liked to run over me. Come sliding to a stop. I said, well, what's the problem? And she told me, she's a school teacher. And had a good job, but she's a single mom. And she didn't know anything about business things. And she didn't know anything about the notes she signed to get in this little home she owned. And as it turned out, she didn't owe a whole lot of money on it. But she missed a payment or two. And then the guys that were involved in this this group that had loaned her the money, they were going to take her house away from her. Because they're going to get this house for just several thousand dollars, and it's worth a whole lot more money than that. And they're just going to kick her out and take her house away from her. Well, and I laid hands on her and prayed, and the word of the Lord came to me. Now, you have to know when God's talking to you and telling you what to do. This is the reason you have to work and exercise your faith all the time to change your way of thinking. Amen. And know when to shut your mind off and turn inward. There, you're going to hear an inward witness, which comes in the form of a conviction. It'll come in words. More in that inward witness than any other way. You just know. And that know that you know what you know, that you know what you know. When that comes, don't you ever violate that. Whether it's to do or whether it's to stop, don't ever violate that. Even if it turned out to be a mistake, God can correct you when you're doing your best to hear Him. It's when you're acting on your own thing is when it makes it hard to do anything with you. Because you're acting in fear, you can't hear His voice, but Satan has access to your innermost counsel. When you're working by fear instead of by faith. But anyway, now don't come running up to me and say, well, what about me? Why don't you pay off my house? I am not your caretaker. Jesus is the one that takes the care.
Amen.
When you roll it over on Him. And that's what she did. Then He told him. Then He told her. Then He told me. Huh? So you learn to walk like that. Now, the Lord told me what to do. I told her, I said, and I called out to the office and I told him she was coming. I said, you go see our legal department. And you go home and get all your stuff. Get your title of that house and the deed and all your stuff about your loan and everything. And take it out there. And then I told them, from what the Lord said, I said, now, you give her the money to pay her house off. We're sowing that as a seed into her. See, God needs you to have money. He don't need you to owe everybody in town. Every time you put a loan on something, you can't give it. It can't be a seed. I'd love to give you this, Brother Coleman, but I owe money on it. I know it. That's the reason the devil wants to keep you in debt. Amen. Using credit cards are fine when you recognize that that is a form of a check. It's not to live on. It is a convenience to use when you have money in the bank to pay the bill on it. When you use it and you don't have money in the bank to pay it, that is a hot check in the eyes of God. And it'll get you into trouble because, well, you know why. Now, we did that. And the Lord reminded us again last week. We were just so excited. We were just so thrilled. We're just thanking God. Oh, God, You blessed us so. We've been walking in the blessing for 41 and a half years, and we are so blessed. Look at this place. Oh, we are so blessed. This is like living in Eden, man. This is so good. It is so wonderful. And the Lord said, you remember that little woman out there in that Target parking lot? I said, yeah. He said, I don't ever forget those kind of things. See, God work with you. That's what He's wanting to do all the time. He's wanting to do the same thing for her. Not just glory in me. He's wanting to do the same thing with her. She didn't know how or she wouldn't be in debt to those scoundrels. Amen, Brother Copeland. I look at some of you, you're so intense. Don't talk lack or recession. Number two, change your way of thinking. Number three, don't ever stop tithing. I don't care what happens in the world. Don't ever stop tithing. If you have to go through your house and sow all of whatever's in there, you don't ever stop tithing. And then the next one is, you don't ever stop giving.
Amen.
Now, if you are not a tither, start right now. Make the commitment right now. Because the Bible says that Jesus is the high priest after the orders of Melchizedek. Melchizedek was Shem. That was Shem, the son of Noah. And he had become the Lord Mayor of Jerusalem. His title was Melchizedek, the high priest of the living God. And God sent him to receive Abram's tithe and bless him. Jesus is the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And you read right on down in that 7th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and it said, here men that die receive tithe, but there he receives tithe.
Hallelujah.
Of whom it is witnessed he lives. The text says he lives forever.
So they're going to be tithing and blessing forever. And you and I get in on it. Oh, man, that's the blessing connection. When you tithe, when you give, that's a blessing connection. Dog, forget all that. Do I have to tithe? Do I get to tithe? When do I tithe? What do I tithe? Tithe means 10%. You're lightning fast. Mine can get a hold of that. Mine did. I know yours can. Amen. The idea, the key issue here is he receives our tithe and he is ordered by God to bless us the way
Amen.
Melchizedek blessed Abraham.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. Now what has happened, the church let that Babylonian thinking get mixed in there. And create arguments about it.
Come on.
Create arguments if you can. Because where there's strife, there's confusion. And every evil work, Scripture says. Knock him in the head.
Amen.
I ain't getting confused over this. Amen. I am a tither.
Amen.
I always will be. I tithed when we didn't have anything. And I tithe now that I'm wealthy. Amen. Oh, Brother Cooper, you mean you're wealthy? Rich, 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 rich. And I have considerable amount of money in the bank. Standing ready to sow every dollar of it. Now, I heard one man say, you know, Brother Copeland, I'm so glad you stood up when all these things began to come down and said, you know, I'm sure glad it didn't happen to us because we don't have that kind of war chest. a war chest? You expecting war? No, get out of that way of thinking, man. I don't have a big bank account that I've saved up there for when somebody attacks me. They'd be attacking me all the time. They're attacking me all the time anyway. But it never affects me. It doesn't have anything to do with it because I don't pay attention to it. No, I don't save up for a rainy day. I save up for an opportunity.
Amen.
Amen. There are opportunities to do two things, and I'll close with this and with the finish of what we just got into. And that is this. You're looking for two opportunities. One, you're listening to God all the time for an opportunity to sow.
Yes.
An opportunity to be generous to a good work. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9. Always having all sufficiency, all times to be generous to every good work. God needs you rich. It's not a war chest. It is a giving chest, if it's any kind of a chest at all. Also, in this, there are opportunities. See, Gentiles pay retail. Yeah, the Babylonian world pays retail. The descendants of Abraham pay wholesale. Or less. If you're in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed? Well, you ought to act like Abraham.
Amen.
Instead of acting like some other fool. Amen. See, the way the world acts, when the world sees things beginning to look bad, even those that have some things, they begin to think, oh my goodness, I better sell. I better get me all the cash I can because I'm going to run out of money and things are going to be bad and I can't buy gas. I got to get rid of this big car. I got to get me a little car. I got to get this. I got to do this. So what do? They dump it on the market. Somebody like me buys it. Somebody that's blessed buys it. Me and Brother Goldstein, Brother, whomever. Why are the Jews so proficient at economy? Because they've known this for thousands of years. This is their way of thinking. Even the secular Jew thinks this way.
Yes.
And what happens in actuality? Well, when times get good again,
Now, the guy that dumped everything is going to go out and he's going to try to get it all back. But now he's going to pay two or three times what he sold the stuff for under duress. To who? Those of us that bought it. Gloria and I had our whole life savings up to that point. Things were just dumped in the Ample Valley up Steamboat Springs, Colorado. Just dumped. And one of my partners said, "Brother Copeland, you've got to come up here and buy a place." I said, "I don't want a place. If I come up here skiing, I can go in this hotel, I can ski out the back door. I don't need property up here." Came back for the next year, and he saw me. He said, "Brother Copeland, have you prayed about this?" I said, "No, I don't want a place up here." He said, "Copeland, I was born and raised here. I've never seen property go this low." This was back in the early 80s, 1982, this particular time. I said, "Sam, I told you to start with. I don't need any place." He said, "Have you prayed about it?" I said, "No, I don't want any place up here. Why? Do I want to have to keep something up all year? Now see, I'm not doing this right. God's trying to get through to me on something. I'm not hearing him. Why? I don't want to spend the money."
Come on.
Dodo.
Oh, come on.
Babylonian. He said, "You hadn't prayed about it." I said, "No, I told you I hadn't." He said, "Will you give me your word you'll pray about it?" Well, after all, he wasn't my partner. I said, "Yeah, Sam. Yeah, I will." I said, "Forgive me, man. I should have prayed about this in the first place." He said, "Yeah, you should have." I said, "Okay, I will pray about it. I'm thinking, what? I think God don't need me." So I said, "But I will pray about it." So I went to the Lord and I said, "Lord, Sam wanted me to pray about buying a piece of property up here." He said, "Yeah, I've been trying to get through to you for 3 years." I said, "Yeah. You what?" He said, "There's a situation going on in this valley. I want you to go there. I want you to own some property there because I'm assigning you as the keeper of this valley. Number one, there's a whole group of witches and satanic people that have made a decision to make this valley their world headquarters, biggest witch coven in the world. And he said, number two, there's a spirit of poverty that has hit this valley, and I'm assigning you to be keeper of the valley. I want you to take my blessing in that valley, and I want you to break this thing." I said, "Wow." So the next year I went up there, and Sam came around and said, "Did you pray for it?" I said, "Yeah, Bubba. Now let's talk." I said, where should I start looking first?" So he clued me in. We found this little place. We walked in the living room, and there was a picture window in the front of it that faced the ski mountain. And I said, "Gloria, you can look at the rest of the house. I'm going to buy this window right here." I said, "This is fine." Beautiful, beautiful little place. It just really, really nice. Well, we offered the man all we had. Of course, the bank had repossessed it. Property was just in the dumps. And when I made the offer, I had a friend of mine that was a retired banker. I said, "You know how to talk in people's language." I said, "Offer him this and tell him I'll pay him cash money and I'll close any day of the week." So he told him that. And the banker hung up on him. It was such a ridiculous offer. But it wasn't because I was just trying to buy low. It's all I had. Almost all I had. And about 10 minutes later, he called back, and he's still mean talking. You know, he said, "Did he say cash?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, I ain't paying no closing costs, and I'm not paying no real estate person to do the papers." And my friend said, "We never asked you to." And the banker slammed down the phone again. So Gloria and I dashed up there as quick as we could get before he changed his mind. And we bought that little house. We took our place and our assignment as keeper of the valley. We had that place 16 years. And the valley came out of its poverty, came into prosperity. The witches decided this ain't no place for us. And they all left. Amen. The power of God hit that valley. Glory be to God. Now can you see why God wanted me there?
Yeah.
He wanted me there because he needed the blessing in the
right.
place.
Right.
That was my assignment, go in there and bless that valley. Go in there and let the blessing of Abraham work through me. Well, why didn't he call somebody there to do it? Their thinking was wrong. They were flowing in the problem. Now, later on, 16 years later, he instructed us to sell that house. And it, of course, now we spent a little money on it. It was a whole lot better shape when we got it than it was when we left than it was when we got it. And we got 4.5 times what we paid for it. And for some reason or other, I didn't feel out of line about it. My grandchildren didn't like it much. But, because they all learned to ski up there and they loved that place. But the Lord said, do it. He said, buy it. He said, sell it. So we just did what he said and left. Never thought about it anymore. And later I missed it some, but I never thought about it. Somebody said, oh, Brother Copeland, doesn't it just break your heart? I said, no.
Good.
All I got left is a tub full of money. You see? Now, to most religious people, that's vulgar talk. No, that's blessing talk.
Amen.
Amen. That's blessing talk. Hallelujah. And a number of years, when a guy bought the house, he dozed it all down and tore the whole house up. Tore it all up. That really made my grandkids mad. One of them said, Papa, I was going to buy that house when I got grown. It is gone. I said, that's all right. The Lord knows what he's doing, and so do you if you're listening to him. And so we didn't care. We didn't pay attention to it. We just went on. Built a larger house. Nice house. And here these years later, it came up for sale. And the Lord said, buy it back. I said, okay. And what do we have? Gloria and I had, in our savings, money enough to buy it back.
Amen.
It's a whole lot bigger house than it was when it was before, but it's the same lot, looking at the same mountain. Oh, yeah. And the Lord said, I ain't sending you up there because I just need you up there now. He said, I'm sending you up there to bless you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Give the Lord a praise and an offering. Hallelujah. Amen. We'll take it up here when we come back. This offering, this is our first offering of the convention. It is always a seed offering. This first offering will receive an offering each day for our speakers. And that's where this offering is going. If you'd only brought one offering, you sow it into this one, because you and I will be sowing together as partners in this. We always sow into these offerings, then the ministry will increase these offerings. We do not take one penny out of the speaker's offering. And you just write it to KCM, Kenneth Copeland Ministries. We'll divide it equally. I don't even want them having to do the paperwork on it. We'll do all the paperwork, and then we will bless them with that, and we will increase it before we give it to them. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Father, we receive this offering this morning in Jesus' name, and we declare it heavenly seed. The Word says in the book of Genesis that you took seed from heaven and sowed it in the earth, and you made it grow. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. And so we have heavenly seed this morning. That book in your lap is heavenly seed. The money is the husk to the seed. The money is the carrier. Are you picking up on this? Jesus said the sower sows the word. The word is heavenly seed. That's God's word. It has God's power. God's blessing is already in that seed. It's already in there. The money is like the husk to the seed. It's the carrier. As you sow it into this convention, This is going into the ministries of these our speakers, and as it's carried into their ministries, it'll go for, you know, whatever God's told them to do with it. It'll go for fuel. It'll go for whatever. Their outreaches in their ministries. But you see, once that money is spent, then it's gone. But the seed is in the ground.
Amen.
The Word is working. The Word is working. Amen. Say it out loud. The Word is working. My seed is growing.
My seed is growing.
Heavenly seed,
heavenly seed
brings heavenly harvest.
Heavenly harvest.
That's the theme of all of our offerings all this week.
Amen.
Heavenly seed brings heavenly harvest. It'll grow heaven on the earth. It'll grow the Garden of Eden right around you, praise God. And the first job of the blessing is to kick that curse of lack out of your garden.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Ushers, if you need an envelope for your giving, raise your hand. Amen. Ushers, would you pass out those envelopes and then go ahead and receive the offering? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Gloria. Good morning.
You bringing them up for me?
Her daddy told me before I ever met her that he had the most beautiful daughter ever come out of the state of Arkansas. And the first time I saw her, I said, you know, he's right.
Amen.
You're so pretty this morning.
He must have been really wanting to get rid of me.
No, he just knew what he's talking about.
That was good.
I love you.
Morning.
Praise the Lord.
You know, I can tell you that that is truth, what Ken's telling me. I'm going to be your witness.
Amen.
It is true. It's amazing what the Lord will do for you if you'll just flow with Him and do it His way.
And talk blessing all the time. When blessing is more than just something you say when somebody sneezes. Huh?
That's right.
We bless.
Thanks.
Well, Lord, bless my food. You bless it. The blessing is in you. The Bible said it's sanctified by thanksgiving and prayer. But verily we bless well. If there's people there that understand blessing in tongues, well, the Scripture talks about that. It said if there are people there that don't know what tongues are, then bless it in a language they can understand. Verily thou blessest well, but they don't understand. So you can bless your food in other tongues. Just start poo-hoo. Why? Because I got to eat it. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Gloria?
Keep it going. Just keep it going.
I can't push. You better take over. Did the ushers take up the offering?
You didn't tell them to.
Yes, I did. Oh. Did I not?
I don't know. I just thought I'd blame you for it.
I can tell you on for this week, ain't you, girl? There they go. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Well, welcome, everybody, to this Believers Convention. We're so glad you're here.
I love you.
We're going to have a great week. This is the third convention this year, and they get better and better. So this is a big wind-up here, and for the conventions at any rate. So we're glad you're here. And, you know, it's really interesting, and I'll just chat with you while they're receiving the offering, then we'll pray over it. It's really interesting when you've been married 46 years and you got born again right when you first got married and you knew nothing about the things of God until then. And then then when you got born again, you got filled with the Spirit and you began to hear the word of faith. That's what changed our circumstances. The other changed our spirit, our heart, but the word of faith changed our thinking. To think prosperous and to think blessed and to know that it was God's will for us to prosper. Ken was raised in a Baptist church and he knew about being born again. Where I was raised, they didn't even tell you that. So I didn't know anything. I mean, I just knew nothing about spiritual things. I never heard about the new birth even. So we got married. Of course, I got born again right away and then we began our walk. Well, when you've done the walk with God for a long time and you look back and you can see how the Word of God manifested and how it worked and how the blessing worked. And we were married a good while before we started prospering because we didn't know to prosper. You know, we had we were ignorant of the fact that God had a blessing for us. But it is so much fun to walk in the blessing and just see God do what He can do. And you know, I think God enjoys it. Otherwise, He wouldn't have set it up this way. He's good. He's good all the time. What happens if you know a really good person? What do they want to do? They want to do good. That's how they're called a good person. My granddaddy was that way. He was just the best, finest man. And my grandmother was tilted a little the other way. But Pop would do anything for us grandchildren. He let me drive his pickup to town when we were out in the country at his place. I didn't even think about having a driver's license. But you know, if I asked him for it, he let me do it. He was just accommodating. And that's the way God is. He's just, you just have to do it His way for your own protection. But He is so good. And He has been so good to us and so wonderful. And the more, you know, when you look back and you see all the years that we've walked in the Word, walked in faith, and how God has increased us, and where, and many of you are the same way, where you were when you started, and what God has done in your life now. And those of you who are new, you're going to love the blessing life. I'm telling you, it's fun. God will do things you never even asked for. He'll come up with ideas, concepts, as Brother Robert says. And you never even thought about that. Ken and I sold that house in Colorado. We didn't plan to ever go back there. We just thought it was over. And all the time in the master plan, people were moving on that little lot to build something. Isn't that amazing? I just tell you, I'm just awestruck by what God does. I want to pray over your offering today, and I want to believe God with you financially. Just start the week off believing God. I'm telling you, all things are possible to him that believeth. But I also tell you that when you serve God, he'll do things you didn't even go after. I mean, like that idea of living up there, buying that first house, that was God's idea. It took all the money that we had to do it, which wasn't that much, but it was all, you know, when it's all you have, it's a lot. Wasn't that much, but it was all we had. And God just blessed it and increased it. So you got to be able to... Now, Ken's always ready. I'm telling you, doesn't bother him to clean out the bank account. I'm a little slower in that area. But Ken, he's telling you the truth. And he's the one that bought that first house. He wanted that house. Didn't bother him. Well, here we went. So the blessing was there. And that's just the way it is. You know, you've got to... You've got to do what you're doing today. You've got to be a sower. You've got to be a tither. Tithing's first. You've got to be a tither. You've got to be a sower. But then you just have to walk without fear in these things. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray over this blessing, over this offering today. I bless it. I thank you for it. We set it apart for your use. And I'm asking you, Lord, this week for a revelation. I know that revelation is better than money because revelation will bring in what you need and in abundance. So we're asking you for revelation and understanding of you and your word. We receive this offering today and we believe for the people to receive their harvest financially. And we believe for them to receive their harvest this week in revelation. All of us, I believe for myself, for revelation this week. I'm open, I'm hungry, I want to hear. And so we thank you. We pray over every speaker this week that speaks that the oracles of God will come forth out of them and we'll hear from heaven. We want to hear what you have to say, Lord. And we set ourselves and we come into agreement right now that we'll do what you tell us to do and we'll receive the word of God. We'll be bold enough to believe it and receive it and act on it. In Jesus' name, we agree. Amen. Do we agree? Hallelujah. That's what's so marvelous about these conventions, and I'm glad you're here Monday morning, and you can just get in all the Word and go home filled up, and you stay filled up. Amen. We have so many wonderful ways now to We have, of course, the written word, which should be enough, but now we have all the other things, the internet, the CDs, I mean, just meetings, the DVDs. I mean, you can get it in any format. Isn't that amazing how the word is just preaching to us in this generation? And we're receiving it. Amen. I want to talk to you about, I shared this in the last convention, and I want to talk to you this week about why it's taking too long, or you're not seeing any results, you're sowing, but you haven't really been reaping. And there's just a number of things, of course, but basically they all boil down to obedience. But if you don't know what the Bible says, you can't really walk in a great deal of obedience. You have to know what God says about things, what He thinks about things. And then you let it change your thinking to think the same way. Now, that's what made us start to prosper. We'd been married for years before we started prospering, and we weren't even up to even. I mean, we just, you know, it's bad news on the Western Front financially for us. Until we began to act on the Word of God. And we began to get revelation, knowledge about God's will for our finances. And now we're still receiving revelation knowledge about those things, and we're still prospering and increasing. And that's just the way it works. But you have to know what God says before you can believe it. And you have to hear the Word of God before faith comes, right? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, the word can be preached in faith by the Spirit, but it has to be received to work in your life. In other words, if you're here this morning and you thought, well, that's just the most far-out thing I've ever heard, I just think he's bragging about that. Well, you didn't get a thing out of the meeting this morning. You need to get the CD and listen again with the right frame of mind, because I want you to prosper. It helps us to hear that the Word's working in somebody's life. I mean, when Ken and I began, I didn't get to hear all the message today, so he may have said some of these things, but when Ken and I began to first hear the Word of Faith, we've been born again, Spirit-filled for a while. We began to listen to Brother Hagin. We listened to his big old 7-inch reels in those days, and then we had a real breakthrough, and we went to the 5-inch reel, and then we came out with cassettes, and surely that's the most wonderful thing in the world. Cassettes would always be with us. I mean, we've been listening to the Word of Faith for a long time. But when we began to hear that, and we just received it, and we began to act on it, obey the law of faith, as in you put the Word of God in your eyes, in your ears, it gets in your heart, and then you say it out your mouth, we began to prosper. But, you know, it was not all easy. I mean, sometimes there were things didn't go the way we expected them to, as soon as we expected them to. Sometimes we made mistakes, but we were really working at it. And so sometimes, if things seem slow to you, first of all, that you're like, it's not really, it's working for somebody else in a greater way than it's working for you or whatever. It's never, I'm going to save you a lot of time, it's never God's fault. He is not asleep on the job. He is in the blessing business 24 hours a day. But the blessing throughout the history of the Bible came as men and women obeyed what He said. I didn't get to hear the first part, but I'm sure Ken talked to you about the blessing this morning, and now he's got me talking about it. But this is not my message. But I mean, from the very beginning, He blessed Adam and Eve, and He told them one thing not to do. Seems like that would be the easy test, doesn't it? When you had all these beautiful fruit trees and all this wonderful food to eat, and only one tree that you're not even to eat anything or have anything to do with that tree? It seemed like the easy test. So what happened? This is not my subject, by the way. So what happened? There was an intruder in the garden. His name was Satan. who has this reputation. He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. So he lied to them and he got them going in a different direction. Now here's the deal. Here's the point. He never changes. He's still the same deceiver. He's still the same liar. He still has no power and authority over you. He didn't have power and authority over Adam and Eve. They gave him place. He has no power and authority over you and me unless we give him place. And so, it's the same thing. It's the same thing today. We don't let the devil talk us out of the blessing. Now, how do you become convinced of the blessing? Well, you meditate in the Word day and night, just like he told Joshua to do. And you'll have good success, just like he promised Joshua. Amen? What does that mean? Good success. You'll be blessed. Glory to God. So we're going to talk some about things that could be slowing you down, keeping you from progressing. And I'm going to start with Mark 4 today. There's a lot of revelation in Mark 4. So let's see. What do I want to do? I think I'll read it in the King James. Uh-oh. I need my little glasses out of my purse. I can read the print, but it's these little bitty notes in the edges of my Bible that are hard to read. So I'm going to get my little glasses so I don't have to think about it. Thank you very much. All right, we're going to go to Mark 4. I'm going to get in both of these Bibles. Are you ready? We're going to talk about the sower sows the word. And then before we end up this week, we'll be talking about faith and engaging in faith. Many times people don't receive because they don't engage. You see, Adam and Eve had to engage when the tempter was there trying to get them not to obey God. And that's all he can do. He has to get us on his territory in order to affect our lives. So that means that he has to get them out of obedience and going a different way, talking a different way, thinking a different way. That was their garden. Satan was an intruder. Adam and Eve were supposed to guard and keep the garden. That didn't mean they had to hoe weeds. There weren't any weeds. They kept it. They were to protect it, to keep it, to keep devils out of it. And that's exactly what we have to do in our lives. And when, you know, you go along, like Ken and I had been married a number of years before, we began to learn how to walk by faith. And up to that time, we'd walked in lack, and we didn't know better than when you got symptoms of sickness and disease. You just took an aspirin, went to bed, got a shot, took medicine, did whatever you did. We didn't know that we didn't have to do that until we heard about the word of faith. So it is our position and our responsibility to find out what God says about a thing, for instance, healing or prosperity, and then to do it, to keep our garden. Once we see in the Word that this belongs to us, whatever it is we're believing for, then we keep our garden. We don't let the intruder, we don't let the devil get us off into thoughts that are our actions that are against what God says is we're blessed with. Amen? And that is strictly our responsibility. Just like you are in the Garden of Eden like Adam and Eve was before sin came. God has promised you the blessing. And if you looked up the blessing, which probably Ken did today, in Deuteronomy 28 and in Galatians and all the good places, you would see that everything is under that blessing, everything good and everything bad under the curse. There's black and there's white. There's the curse and blessing. If you're in Christ Jesus, the blessing has come up on you. Now it's up to you to walk in it. And how do you do that? You find out God's way of thinking and doing, The more you get in line with it, the more you prosper. The more you get in line with it, the more you stay well. Ken and I sometimes sit around by ourselves and we just think about the blessing. This last week, we were in Colorado, and we were just thinking about the blessing. And I said, Ken, how many people do you think there are that's got three generations of people? Like, we have Ken and me, we have our children, we have our grandchildren. So far, we don't have great-grandchildren, but that's coming, because there's a lot of people getting married in our family. I said, how many families do you suppose have three generations of people that are not sick? Nobody in the family sick. Nobody in the family is in financial trouble. But maybe they don't have everything they plan to have in their lifetime because they're young. But everybody's blessed. And as far as I know there's nobody sick. So as far as I know, there's not even anybody on prescription drugs. And I said, how many families, three generations, do you think there are like that? I would say not many. But we're not any different from anybody else. We were under the curse, but we got born again. And we got out from under the curse, and then we found out the will of God. And we began to walk in it. Now that's not bragging on us, that's bragging on God. All we did was do what He says. And when we make a mistake, we go a wrong direction, we do something, we get in strife or whatever it is that's against the Word of God, we repent. And we ask God to forgive us, and we get right back on track. Why? Well, because one thing, we want to be faithful to God. But then another reason is we enjoy the blessing. And if people are not, you are not going to get in on. You can get born again. You can get filled with Spirit. But as far as having your circumstances blessed, you're not going to get there talking unbelief. And you're not going to get there in disobedience. And you won't be there if you're supposed to be God's told you to do something else and you're not doing it. So the blessing is totally dependent upon our following God. But the deal is that when you follow God, you're blessed. And it's fun. Life is fun. Instead of being a chore, it becomes fun. And you just sit around with your husband, your wife, and your children, and you think about, we're so blessed. We have peace. We're well. Everything is good. We're on the increase. That's not the way it was when I grew up in my family. It was, you couldn't just sit around and think that because nobody knew that. Nobody in my family. I was so ignorant of spiritual things that I never even heard of the new birth. When Ken and I got married, I didn't know anything about that. So that's just free. I'm just telling you, life can be good, but we're going to have to flow with it, flow with God. The blessing works where there's obedience. Moses told them, you do this, you'll be blessed. You obey what I say, you'll be blessed. But if you don't do this, what's going to happen? You're going to continue to be cursed. They were already cursed. Because you're going to be cursed until you get under the blessing. That's where the blessing is. That's where the prosperity and increase is. So if you're here this week, maybe somebody drug you. You think they're probably fanatics, but you didn't have anything else to do this week, and they offered to pay for your hotel room, and you're here. Well, first thing you've got to do is receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, because He's the one that redeemed us from the curse. So that the blessing could come on us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What a life. So we're going to talk about some things that could hinder you. And you say, well, I'm believing God. I've been this and I've done that. But I don't seem to get any results. Well, when you don't get any results, you don't look up at heaven and say, God, why aren't you doing something? You look right here, and you find out what you're doing. And usually, just about, a great percentage of the time, you can look at this hole right here under your nose, and you will be talking lack, talking sickness, talking the curse. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know that we've got all these bills to pay, and I don't know how we're going to pay them. And you know, I've got this pain, and I've had it now for 6 months. It seems like I just can't get rid of it. What are you doing? You are talking the curse instead of the blessing. So here's some things. Let's look at Mark 4. This is a good place to see what we should do in life. We'll start out there today. I'll read it out of the King James. The sower, let's start with, let's go back up here. Jesus is saying, I'm just going to read first of all what Jesus was saying to them, and then I'm going to read his explanation of it. Let's just start at the beginning of Mark 4. And he began to teach by the sea, by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship, and he sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was led by the sea on the land. Wouldn't that be great to just be out there on the beach with Jesus? Glory to God, preaching you the word. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it. Now he sowed the seed, but the birds came and devoured it. And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, but it had no depth of the earth. And when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Then other fell on good ground. Other seed fell on good ground, and it did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And Jesus said to them, he said unto them, unto you it's given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. So this parable is a mystery of the kingdom of God. This is how the kingdom of God works in the earth, or the dominion. You know, kingdom comes from the word dominion. This is how the dominion of God works in the earth, Jesus said. Unto you it's given to know the mystery, or the secret, the NIV says. But unto them that are without the kingdom, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted or changed in their thinking, and their sins should be forgiven them. So, you know, if you're here and somebody's drugged you here and you're not born again, the first thing you need to do to get something out of this meeting is to make Jesus the Lord of your life. To be born over again so that you become good ground for the Word of God. And he said to them, know ye not this parable? How then will you know all parables? Everything works off this parable, in other words. Now, let me see if I can find this scripture real quick about, I'll come across it after a while, but it was something specifically about the parable. Hold on just a second, don't go away. Oh, well, I'll come across it in a minute because it's in this area here somewhere. It says, so he said, how do you know all parables? If you don't understand this, the sower, and so Jesus begins now to reveal to them the secret. Now, three times out of four, this sower got no harvest. That's a note here in my Bible. The devil will attack the word before it takes root. It is easier to dig up then. That's why you have to be persistent about the things of God. And you have to keep that seed in the ground under pressure. Because Satan will come and try to what? Steal the word out of your heart. Why? Because he wants control of your life. And he's come to kill, steal, and destroy. So your heart brings forth the seed. Now Jesus said the sower, he's going to explain it. The sower sows the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. That's the first group, the wayside group. Here's what happens to them. When they have heard the word, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now I'm going to give you a clue here. He doesn't just come. When somebody hears the word, he doesn't just come to a few to get the word out of your heart. When you hear the word, if he's going to keep control in your life, he's going to have to keep you from retaining that word of God in your life. He's going to have to talk you out of it. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And good things come to pass out of what comes out of your heart and out of your mouth. So Satan's major job is to do what? To deceive somebody. To talk you out of the word. To get it out, and you begin to say, well, it didn't happen. It's, you know, I've been believing for this for a long time, and I still feel bad, and the symptoms are here, and I guess it's just not going to work for me. Well, if you've been believing for a long time, don't quit now. Don't let the word increase. Don't let Satan steal the word. Don't let the word fail to come out of your mouth. Amen? Now, it's the word of faith which we speak. So it's our words, but it's also the word of God coming out of our heart. It's not just positive thinking. I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. That's better than saying I'm sick, I'm sick, I'm sick, I'm sick. But there's not power in there to bring deliverance. It's the word of God that causes your faith, which is the power to receive your healing or your prosperity, whatever. It's the word of God that puts faith words out your mouth. So Jesus said, when they heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Over these years and years and years of having conventions, I expect there's been thousands of people that have come to the convention or come to a meeting, heard the word, received it, and then they let Satan talk them out of it. And they're probably in worse shape than they were the first time they came. This is a decision we make. It's not a choice. This is the way it works. Satan comes to get the word, to talk you out of it, to say anything to you. You're not going to get it this time. That's not you. You're too bad. You're too sinful. You're this, you're that. And what happens? He takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. That's the group by the wayside. Satan, the sower sows the word. Satan comes to steal the word. We're in the middle. God has put the word in our ears, and now Satan's trying to take it out. We make the decision. Are we going to let him have it? Are we going to give up? Are we going to quit? Or are we going to let patience have her perfect work so that we are entire and wanting nothing? That's the other option. You can quit. And ultimately, you'll receive, and the more you grow, the more you receive, and the more you receive, the more you grow. Or you can give up, go back to unbelief, and have no hope. I love walking by faith. I love walking by faith. Now, when we first started, we didn't understand the things we know now, but we did know that if we didn't walk by faith, we weren't going to receive supernaturally. So the more we found out, the better we got at it, and the more wonderful it became. Okay, so that was the wayside group. Sower sows the word. Satan comes immediately to steal the word that was sown. So you're going to hear a lot of word this week. Don't let him have one jot and tittle of it. You go home from this meeting holding fast to every word you heard. Amen. You don't let it go. You don't disclaim yourself or make yourself where you're not eligible for it. You don't. You just take it. You just take it. People that walk by faith just take the word. Amen. And they hang on to it when it's tough and when it's easy. We walk in the word of God. And that way, you're always blessed. So here's an example. Let me see if I can find the scripture in 2 Samuel. About, it gives us a picture. I don't know, maybe 2 Samuel's not in this Bible anymore. Here it is, 2 Samuel 23:12. Get a picture of this. This is one of David's mighty men. And he was going after the... He had to defend the land. It says in here... Wait, hold on. Let me see if I got it down wrong. I've got 2 Samuel 23:12. And I've got defend the land. It's about this guy, one of the mighty men, that put on all of his armor. He put it all on, and he went and he defended the field that he was assigned to defend. And I don't know. I don't see what I was looking for now, but I know you've seen it, but I haven't seen it, so... He fought with his life. He put it all on. He put his armor on and he went and he defended that land. And that is a picture, a field. It seemed like it was a field of lentils or something like that. And he defended it from the enemy. And now get a picture of this mighty warrior, this mighty man of God. He's got all of his weapons strapped on. He's got his helmet on. He's got everything that the man of war was supposed to have on. He stood in the middle of that field and he fought off the enemy. Now that's a picture of the way believers have to do in order to walk in victory over the devil. We can't give him any place. That's why the scripture says, give the devil no place. We can't give Satan anything to work with. He's a liar, he's a murderer, he's a thief, he's come to kill, to steal and destroy. And that's exactly what he'll do if you'll let him. So get a picture of yourself, whatever it is in your life. If your finances are messed up, your family's messed up, you need healing in your body. Get a picture of yourself being this mighty warrior out there. He was out there defending his field of beans, but you are defending your body. Your children, your family. Maybe you've got family that's lost that you're believing God for. That is a picture of what we do. We cannot be lazy believers and walk in victory. We cannot be careless believers and walk in victory. We can't get all dressed up in our armor and then leave our sword at home. And we're here in the battle and we say, oh, where's my sword? Excuse me. I'll be right back. No, you'll get your head cut off. So I want you to get a picture of being a mighty warrior of faith. That's why I haven't ever thought about this until the last few days, but I guess that's why the Bible talks about the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. We have armor. Glory to God. Maybe we'll study that one day. Okay, so you got a picture of yourself. You can't be a lazy Christian and be successful in this. Satan will come and take what belongs to you if you're not diligent. And 1 Timothy, now let's see. 1 Timothy says, let's look at 6. 1 Timothy 6. I want you to get a picture of this. Whoop. All right. It says in 1 Timothy 6, 11 and 12, "But thou, O man," well, it says, "they that will be rich fall into a temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil." We don't love money, we love God. "Which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith," that's believing God, "love," is following the scripture that says to love everybody, to follow love. Love is patient, kind, you know, "and patience. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience." That's that force that does not give up, doesn't quit, never is powerless. It holds together. "Meekness. Fight the good fight of faith." So we can get from that, that if we're going to walk by faith, have victory by faith, and we know that the Bible says this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, and that includes every devil in it and every bad thing in it, we're going to have to hold on to the faith. Amen? "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good confession." So we know that we have faith is not just a walk in the park. Why is that? Because we don't know nearly what we ought to know. Satan's been around a long time. He's got a lot of tricks. He is called a deceiver. He is he's a deceiver. He lies. He has ways. He does this. He has to lie. He has to deceive because he has no power. So you and I, if we're going to walk in victory, we're going to have to not allow Satan to deceive us with lies like God didn't hear you. God's not going to do that for you. You know you did this and you did that and you're just not worthy. Nobody's worthy of the blessing of God. But Jesus came and paid the price for we could be born again and we could be blessed. So you're going to have to be like that man that worked for David. You're going to have to be out there with the giants and you're going to have to be defending your ground. Satan has come to kill, to steal, and destroy. But Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So we're in the middle. If we agree with the devil, we'll be killed, stolen from, and destroyed. But if we agree with Jesus, and we stay with the Word of God, and we speak His words, and we put His Word, the Word of God, in our eyes, in our ears, so that faith can be manifest in our heart and then come out our mouth against our circumstances, against sickness, disease, and whatever. If we'll do that, we'll have victory. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. But it's not automatic. Sometimes it takes time because, you know, we're not automatic. If we were automatically right, it wouldn't take long. But we're not. There are things we don't know. There's stupid things that we do and say. When we do that, we have to repent. Amen. So what I'm saying to you today is don't give up on your faith. Let patience, the scripture says, have her perfect work so that you be entire and wanting nothing. You have a job to do. You can't just go to church every Sunday and expect the pastor to keep the devil at bay in your life. That's not his job. His job is to preach you the truth so that faith comes, so that when the devil does come to lie and to kill and destroy, you've got faith. You've got your armor on. You've got your shield of faith. You've got your weapon. You've got the Word of God in your heart and in your mouth. You've got power to tell the devil, no, you don't. You're just like David's mighty man there protecting that ground. He was not going to let the enemy have that ground. And that's the way we have to be. Amen? So this is just the way it is. I mean, these people here, Satan came to steal the word by the wayside. It had no depth. And they let it go. The seed never did get going good. All right, so these are they by the wayside where the word was sown. The word was sown. The seed was out there. But when they have heard, Satan came immediately to take away the word that was sown in their heart. Now we have to be just as persistent as the mighty man of David was, and we have to defend our ground. You believe in God for your healing? Pain's still there? What do? Well, I thought I got it, but I guess I didn't. No, you're not defending your ground. You're not standing on the word of faith. You're giving up. What if it took a week? What if it took 2 weeks? Whatever it takes, and this is the same with your finances, whatever it takes, you defend your ground. You defend the word of God that goes into your eyes, your ears, and is down in your heart. You defend your position with the words of your mouth, words of faith. I'm telling you, I can remember. I mean, it's hard when you owe people a lot of money and you don't have any money and you're past due and the pressure's on and they're threatening to turn your lights off or repossess your car, your only car or whatever. What do? You just get a picture of yourself like that mighty man of David with all your armor on and your sword and the word of God coming out your mouth, and you say, I'm not going to relent. I'm blessed and I cannot be cursed. You're not taking this. You're not doing that. Even if you lose the car, what do? You don't give up. You continue to stay on the word of God and you say, Lord, I believe for a car that's paid for. Just get tougher. Don't get weaker. Our cars ought to be paid for. That's a blessing to have a car paid for. It's a blessing to have a house paid for. You just say, no, devil, you're not talking me out of this. I'm blessed. I can't be cursed. I believe I receive a car with no payments on it. I believe I'll pay cash for it. And when the devil does make a foothold, you just double up on him. And say, I'm not giving up. I believed I've received my car. I believe I've received my house. It took me a long time to believe God for the house that we now live in. It took years. Years. But I just never gave up on it. What's going to happen if I give up? Nothing for sure is going to happen. If I quit, I'm in. And so you got to get this kind of thinking in your head. You cannot cooperate with the devil. You can't flow in unbelief. You can't speak words of doubt and fear and expect anything good to happen. Well, I'm afraid, you know, it's just not going to work. I'm afraid I'm going to lose my car. I'm afraid you are too, talking like that. And you got to get, this got to get real to you. So how does it get real to you? You spend time in the Word of God. You spend time day and night in the Word of God. After all, and then you don't ever grow to a place where you can put the Word down and say, okay, I've been doing this for 46 years. I know the Word. I'm going to just sleep an extra hour from now on until I leave the earth because I know all this. No. No, no, no. You have to keep that Word going in your eyes and in your ears if you want faith to stay there. Because faith is power behind the word that's in your heart. Not last year's word, not last week's word. Power, that word that's working in you now. Amen? So that's why you never grow up enough to think, okay, I know it all. You might know it all. You might know a lot of information. But you got to get the power through the Word of God going in your eyes and in your ears down here, keeping your faith strong. So you don't ever quit. You don't ever get lazy. It's not what you know. It's what's down in here that'll come out in faith out your mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it's our job to keep that faith in there in abundance by spending time in the Word of God and saying the Word of God. We had to learn in our lives. We had to learn to not say anything we didn't want to come to pass. You say, oh, well, that would just be such a bondage to have to think about every word you said. No, the bondage is having to live by every word you say if you're saying the wrong thing. When you say right, it's a blessing. And it's your faith talking, and you're not giving the devil anything to work with. Okay, these are they by the wayside where the word was sown. When they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their heart. So that's, now we know how Satan operates. Now we know how he gets a place in somebody's life that is a believer, has heard the word. He lies his way into the situation. It's not going to work for you this time. You're not going to get it. So in Mark 4, here where we're reading, it talks about then the stony ground in verse 16. Well, let's see. We read through. We're going to go now and we're going to talk about the explanation, how Jesus explained this to them. He said, now, if you don't know this parable, how are you going to know anything? The sower sows the word. These are they by the wayside where the word was sown. Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their heart. And these are they, likewise, which are sown on stony ground. So these were the wayside. And he came along, took it. And now he's explaining to them about the stony ground. So he says in verse 16, who, when they heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. The other group, they just let Satan take it right out. But this group received the word, but when pressure came, they had no root. What is pressure? Temptation or pressure from the devil lying to you, telling you you're not going to get it. The wayside group, that just went away quick. But this group, they actually did receive it. And they heard it, and they immediately received it with gladness, but they didn't hold on to it. If you're not holding on, if you're not in the place where you can withstand the pressure, what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to receive more word until you can handle the pressure. What is that called? That's called your renewing of your mind. We renew our mind to think like God thinks by His Word. And then we do what it says. So this group on stony ground, they heard it. They were happy about it. Yay, I can do this. And then it didn't take root. They didn't hold on to it. The ground has to hold on to the seed, doesn't it? They didn't take root. And so over here, it says, it's in the earlier part of chapter 4, it says, some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth. So it wasn't very deep down in their heart. They heard it. They thought, great, I'll be blessed. I'll prosper. Yay, yay, I'll get out of debt and then go about your merry way and don't back it up with the Word of God every day. So some fell on stony ground. It had not much earth. Immediately it sprang up because it had no depth. Now, the more time you spend in the Word of God, the more depth of the Word and power of the Word is going to be in your life. That's why Ken and I have been at this for a lot of years. But I still get in the Word every day. Why is that? Because I know the system. I know that I can't stay strong if I don't get the Word of God in my eyes and in my ears. And I know that Satan works every day to steal the Word and to kill and to steal and to destroy in my life. So I spend time in the Word every day. Well, you say, well, I think that's fanatical. It may be, but I'm a happy fanatic. So don't bother me. This works. I'm going to keep working it. I'm going to stay in the Word of God. I'm going to be good ground for the Word. I'm going to let the Word of God stay in my heart. Now, this said in, over here talking about in verse 6 about the stony ground, it said immediately it sprang up, but it had no depth. It was hard ground. You know, the scripture talks about the fallow ground, broken up ground, easy ground. How do you do that? By staying in the Word every day. So it has no root, verse 17, and it endures for a little while. So apparently, for a time, it says. So apparently, the Bible's not telling us that our crop is going to come up immediately. Because we're going to have to endure for a time. Now, if you don't have the Word in your eyes and in your ears and in your heart, you'll give up on the prosperity. You'll give up believing God for a husband. You'll give up believing God for a wife. Listen, you don't want the first man that comes along necessarily. You want the right man that comes along. So sometimes good things take patience. But, you know, the old saying goes, I don't think this is scripture. Good things come to those that wait. Now, I don't think that's scripture. But maybe he's not ready yet. You don't want to pick him green either. So, what do? You stay in faith. Thank you, Father. I believe I received the perfect husband. And that I'll be a perfect wife to the perfect husband. Because we want him to stay there when he turns up. This is a new message. So afterwards, when on the stony ground, when persecution or affliction arises for the Word's sake, immediately they are offended. What does that mean, for the Word's sake? Well, Satan brings pressure to get you to give up on the Word, because that's the only way he can get a place. And so on this stony ground, he puts pressure on you. He does what he can. Let's just say you're believing for a house. And it looks like you're further away than you've ever been. That doesn't mean things aren't working. That just means you can't see what's working. Things are working in the Spirit. God may be setting you up for the best job you ever had. And the most financially prosperous job you ever had. And now you're letting the devil talk you out of giving up. And now it'll shut the door on the increase, on the blessing. Listen, if something wasn't about to happen, the devil wouldn't be fooling around with you. The reason he comes to kill and steal and destroy is he's afraid you're going to get what you're asking for. And the blessing, he's against the blessing. He wants to talk you out of the blessing. It's not good for his reputation when a believer receives a house by faith or gets the best job in town or receives a new car by faith. It's not good for the devil's reputation. Besides that, he wants to take over. That's his big deal. That's what he wanted to do in heaven. That was his first big mistake. He wanted to take over. And he never can take over because Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. So the stony ground has no root, and it endures for a little while, but when affliction or persecution, in other words, when pressure's put on, you're not going to walk by faith, receive by faith, without having pressure put on by the devil. He's going to try to talk you out of it, and you can just count on that. So you have to recognize that, and you have to say, no, I'm not giving up on my healing. I will not. I do not believe that, Satan. I do not believe God is mad at me. Now you shut up and get out of here. Or I do not believe that it's God's will for me to be sick. You shut up and get out of here. You don't have to say anything to him but shut up and get out. But I'm just telling you how it works. He comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. He is a what? A liar. The truth's not in him. So the truth is this. If Satan says to you, you're never going to get healed, the truth is that he can't tell the truth. And you are going to get healed if you don't let him lie you out of it. Hallelujah. Or that you're never going to prosper. The same thing. So, the Word has to take root. It says that the stony ground has no root in themselves and so endure for a time. Afterward, When affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, meaning that Satan's coming to steal the word, immediately they are offended. And what? They wither away. They wither away in verse 6. They wither away. You cannot stay strong in the Lord without a constant diet of the Word of God. You got to keep planting the Word in your eyes and your ears and get it in your heart so that your faith is ready and holds its ground. How does faith hold its ground? Well, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, but faith goes by saying. So what all the devil has to do is to get you to say what he wants you to. It's not working for me. I went to the Milwaukee Believers Convention last year, and I'm still in the situation that I'm in. Well, it could be that you haven't done a perfect job. But it can't be that God hasn't done a perfect job. It could be that things are just working in the right direction, but they've not yet solidified. But if you could see in the Spirit, you might be very encouraged to know what's happening. But you can't see in the natural. And so what do we call that? Faith. Glory to God. Well, you say, well, I don't like that. Well, it's the only system out there. You either work it or you get worked. You either walk in faith or you get beat up. If you don't walk in faith, Satan's going to kill, steal, and destroy. Hallelujah. So that's it. That's just the way it is. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. This group here, every group hears the word. They hear the word. Verse 19 says, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in. Entering into what? Entering into their mind and their heart. They've let other things enter in. Too many things. Too much stuff going on. Enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So cares. I think you could say worry. Worry. The worries, the cares, and the deceitfulness of riches and lusts of other things. That means that you're now more interested out there. You've got a little success. You've got a little money. You're having, you know, you're doing well. And you're quite proud of yourself and you forgot who gave it to you. And now these other things enter in and choke the word. Other things could be things that are legitimate. You can't put anything against the word of, in front of the word of God and in front of your obeying the word of God. So it's not necessarily sin things, although that happens too. Other things enter in and choke the word. And here's what happens. You've given your attention to other things and you've let the word of God slide. And other things enter in and choke the word. Wow. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Glory to God. Let me look at Luke. Let me look there at Luke 8:14. And read what Luke says about it. You should compare. You should read all these places where he talks about this and compare them. Luke 4:14. Okay. He said, now up here, this is interesting. I'll just go back up to 12. Those by the wayside are they that hear, and then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their heart. So they heard. Then the devil came right away. He stole it away from them. Lest they should believe and be saved. So that first group, the wayside group, they weren't even born again. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe. So, you know, you can see by that that if you're going to produce, you're going to have to believe indefinitely. You're going to have to be willing to stand and do what the Bible says, having done all to stand, stand therefore, that you might be perfect, entire, and wanting nothing. That's exactly what this is talking about. They have no root, which for a while believe, and in the time of trouble or temptation, they fall away. They quit. They quit believing. They give up. Well, it's not working for me. It's been 3 months and this and that and other. It's been 6 months. Maybe it's been 2 years. Maybe whatever you're believing for is going to take, let's just say it's going to take 5 years. But at the end of 5 years, it's manifest. Why would it take so long? Because we're not as sharp as we ought to be. And we're not as diligent as we ought to be. And we're more lazy than we ought to be about spiritual things. I don't know why it takes a while. But at the end of 5 years, if it was manifest at the end of 5 years, don't you think you'd be glad? Don't you think that would be better than coming to the end of 5 years and having nothing? So where are you going to be if you don't believe? That's the point. You're going to be without. So you might as well just say, I'm going to stand, and I am going to stand from now on until this thing is manifest. That's patience. Glory to God. These are they which fell among thorns. They which heard the word, go forth. When they have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Fruit to perfection would be receiving that thing that you're believing for. But they're too busy, too many cares, too much good stuff, pleasures of this life, whatever it takes. And you don't have to be well off to have too much other stuff bothering. You could be just so bad off you think about lack all the time. That'd be something in your heart that didn't belong there. Cares, trouble, worry. Don't be a worrier. You can't worry and believe at the same time. You've got to come to grips with that. I thought, you know, you were supposed to worry. I was raised to worry. But I found out I'm not supposed to ever worry. I'm supposed to always believe. I'm supposed to find the word, hang on to it, put it in my eyes, in my ears, keep it in my heart, until the manifestation comes, however long it is. And I promise you this, I can tell you from experience, it is worth it when you get it. And I can tell you this from experience, if you don't stand and you relent on what you're believing, and you begin to say opposite of, I believe I've received this so-and-so, health, a house, a car, a husband, whatever it is, wife, you think, well, it's not happening. And then you let it fall by the wayside. The birds of the air come and snatch it away. You're not going to get it by faith. You might get a husband, but I'm concerned it might not be the right one, because you wouldn't wait for the right one. You wouldn't trust God for the right one. So what does it boil down to? We walk by faith and not by sight. We pray and believe God, and we don't quit. We're like verse 15. But that, let's see, I'll read it in Luke and then I'll go back to Mark. But that on good ground are they. Here's good ground. This is what you and I are going to be. This is what we are. Which in an honest and a good heart, having heard the word, keep it. Now, this is how you be good ground for the, this is how you receive. You be good ground for the word of God. Here's how that is. You hear the word and you keep it. What does that mean? That means you're out there like that David's mighty man fighting for that field of beans with his sword on and his sword in his hand and all of his gear on, and he's defending it. We keep it. We keep the ground. We don't let the devil talk us out of it. We don't receive doubt and unbelief. Amen? But they on good ground are they which in an honest and a good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Patience is that force that does not quit. Now, you can't get any plainer than that. Now look back over here at Mark 4 about good ground. The word's already been choked. The word, you know, we've just talked about those and the cares of this world and thorns, the cares of this world. Too much stuff in this ground, too much stuff in this heart. And lust of other things entering in choke the word. In other words, we give up on it and the word becomes fruitful. Now we're to verse 20 in Mark 4. These are they which are sown on good ground. This is good ground. This is me. This is you if you want to be. And I want to be, so it's me. These are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and you know that receiving it means they hold on to it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100. That's what we want to be. Amen? These are they, and Luke says, these are they that are on good ground, which in an honest and a good heart, having heard the word, keep it. The word that you hear this week, if it's a word about blessing, prosperity, if it's a word about believing God for your family, for people to be born again, if it's a word of God concerning your finances, prosperity, healing, you take it and you keep it. Now, how do you keep it? You continue to put the word of God in your eyes and in your ears. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you want fresh faith every day, you get in the word every day. Amen. If you want to be good ground for the word and you want to keep growing, you don't wait from meeting to meeting. You don't wait from Sunday to Sunday when you go to church to hear the word of God. The devil doesn't. Let me just say this. The devil works weekdays as well as Sunday. That is fresh off the press. I never heard of that before, but it's the truth. The devil works weekdays and Sunday. He works 7 days a week. So what do? You get in the Word of God and you work that Word 7 days a week. You put it in your eyes, in your ears, let it be in your heart, and you say it out your mouth every day. Hallelujah. And what else? You don't say anything different. Now, a lot of people are like bitter and sweet. They've got two things coming out their fountain. They're saying the word, and then they're saying unbelief. They're saying, I believe I receive in Jesus' name. That's mine. And then they're saying, this is not working. So it's not. What do we get? We get what we say, according to Mark 11. We get what we say. So when we say, okay, this is not working. I still have pain. I'm still sick. I'm supposed to be healed, but I'm sick. You are supposed to be healed, but now you've let healing go and you've taken on sickness. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it's up to us what we speak. It's up to us what we put our eyes and our ears on. What we put in our ears and in our eyes, it's up to us. And you say, well, I don't like that. I don't have time. Well, do you have time to go to the hospital? Or do you have time for an operation? Or do you have time to marry the wrong man? You don't want to go there. The hospital would be better. So what do? We get on the Word of God. We keep it going in our eyes, in our ears. We keep it in our mouth. We never quit growing. We never arrived. I'm sure in heaven we'll keep studying the Word of God. It might be a little different experience. I mean, Jesus will be teaching it, but hey. It's God's word. It's not ever going to quit. Praise the Lord. Amen. Did you get it? Yes. Hallelujah. Father, we receive this word. We are good ground for your word. And we open our eyes to hear, to see, and our ears to hear this week the word of God. And we take the word. We'll let it get in our eyes, in our ears, and down into our heart. We will act on it. We will do it. We will maintain it. When we go home, we won't quit. We'll let patience have her perfect work so that we are entire and wanting nothing. And we ask you, let's all come into agreement now. We ask you, Father, for revelation of the Word. We ask you for understanding. We ask you to show every individual, one of us, the words that we need from heaven. Bring those to our ears. Show them to us in the Spirit. Let us grasp hold. Father, I'm asking you that this be the greatest week of revelation that we've ever had, that any of us have ever had. We want your Word. Say, I want the Word. I'll receive the Word. I'll hold on to the Word. I'll be good ground. I'm asking you, Lord, for wisdom this week. And you said if any man asked wisdom, we would receive it. Amen. Thank you for it, Father. We receive it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.